Ready?
Whenever you're recording, ready, we can start.
We're right. Recording.
She's recording. We're recording.
Okay.
I'm recording. I am recording.
Okay, everyone. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so we're going to begin our panel now. So this is Speak Beastie live. We're recording right now. 2017. Miss Hello. So first, we're going to go across the line and introduce ourselves and kind of just our house or what we do for, I guess, Muggle Night and for Speak Beastie.
Yeah, sure.
I'm Haley. I've been a guest host on Speak Beastie twice, so I'm moderating. I'm a Gryffindor, and I'm on the content and creative team for Muggle Night.
I am Stephanie. I have been a guest host twice. I moderated their Fantastic Beasts panel at New York Comic Con. I am a Hufflepuff, and for the site, I am a special project coordinator. I am our new podcast coordinator, and I am a member of their creative team.
Me a producer.
Well, no, Catherine's a producer.
Oh,
Ariel
gosh,
and I are
Hi.
Coordinators.
I'm Lizzie. I am one of the hosts of Speak Beastie. I am a strong Gryffindor. I'm a Wampus. For MuggleNet, I am their internship co-coordinator, creative content specialist, and just a general member of the creative team. Am I missing? Oh, are we doing?
Oh, I forgot that part. Oh,
okay.
Well.
Hi, that's
we'll
me.
We'll pass it back. Okay.
Oh, yeah, hold the mic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're going to use this mic.
So, okay.
Hi, I'm Elena. I'm one of the co-producers of Speak Beastie, and also occasionally pop in as a host. So for MuggleNet, I'm on the Facebook social media team. I've been with them for, oh my goodness, almost 4 years. What is my life? My house is Hufflepuff. Proud Hufflepuff, age of the Hufflepuff. Let's hear for it, boom. And my Ilvermorny house is Pucklepuff. So I like to call myself a Pucklepuff. It's perfect, right? It goes together so well. Do we want to all go back down? We can say the other part?
Sure.
The Boggart bit?
I was going to say
I can answer and then we can go back
good
down.
Good idea, okay.
So when we went to New York Comic Con, we started off our panel with just kind of an initial question for each of our hosts, so we can kind of get the ball rolling. So the question we had asked then was, what do you think Newt's Patronus is? So today we thought we'd start a little different, and we're going to say what we think Newt's Boggart would be. So when we were talking about this last night, I really liked the idea that it may be some form of his brother.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. No, but I think it'd be really
this
interesting.
Be so
just because, like, you know, we see, like, there's kind of a demeanor in his face when they mention, like, your brother, the war hero, and he's just kind of like, you know, they're like, you're his little brother. And it seems kind of condescending. So I feel like that'd be really interesting to see, like, what the dynamic between him and Theseus is. So it could be interesting if it was his brother.
Great. So now that answer is taken. Let's try to come up with something else, Elizabeth. gosh, I mean, I don't know if
I got one.
Oh, good for you.
Thanks, Liz.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. Maybe it could be...
No, welcome.
Maybe there's a beast he has a really, like, tough relationship with. Like, he can't be friends with everyone, can he?
I mean, sure, okay, he's a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, well, maybe he's like, maybe his Boggart could be the obscurial that he, of like the young girl.
I hate you.
Away.
You want to go?
I'll go while you think of one. Okay.
Mine was going to be the little girl. Mine was literally going to be the little girl.
I kind of think of this more in the way that Molly Weasley's Boggart is all of her family dying. I think that Newt would be all of his beasts dead in front of him. I think it'd be the same thing as Molly has.
It would continue
to change, kind of like hers did. That's what I think his Boggart would be.
Yeah. Can I pass? Three of mine are gone. So, like, can I just, like, pass? Hold up. There's a hand in the back.
Yes.
Can we?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Going along the lines of possibly Newt has autism because of how he can look at people, I think his Boggart would almost be himself because he's so afraid of, you know, not really afraid, but he's just so uncomfortable within himself.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Because we're actually, so we're also live streaming. So for those of you who didn't hear that, she said that Newt, it may be the fact that he has autism, he might see himself. So
So that's really cool.
Team protect Newt at all costs.
I would say a poacher or some kind of
a poacher, that's
wizarding pest control person.
Mm-hmm. That could be really good.
To protect them.
Idea.
Yeah, that's cool. That's solid.
I like
Graves. It's Graves. It's Graves.
Everything's Graves.
Let's say some governing board that wants to do away with protecting his animals.
It's Graves. it's Graves. It's Pickery and Graves standing there holding the chest, holding the, beast, the case, and they're like, nope.
Yep.
Not for you.
It's Serafina running away with the case.
Okay, so... What the most of the panel is going to be, we asked people on our Twitter what kind of questions they wanted to hear from us to talk about this week, and we got some great answers from people, and we're kind of going to go through each one and have everyone up here answer, and of course you guys can tell us what you think too, so we can all discuss what we think the answers.
Yeah, this is definitely not one of those like come up one at a time. Like if you have a thought, please
just raise your
hand in the air, and we'll get to you in order.
Okay, so the first question we have comes from at Picket Pastries, which is such a good handle because it means that they have their Twitter handle off of a joke from this podcast.
It's who got the pastries thing on the scavenger hunt?
Nice.
One person? Okay.
Two people.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, the podcast has nicknamed the Niffler Pastries, and we told Dan Fogler, and he said okay.
He said he'd talk to people, so,
no. So we're working on it. So their question is, do you think that Newt has any other family members that will play a part in the series apart from Theseus Scamander?
Oh, I'm holding the mic, I'm talking.
Okay, well, we can talk together.
Okay, let's talk together.
So this one, oh gosh, my brain is collapsing. Do we think Newt has any other family members? So I think... that it'd be, like, really want to see his mom, because we know from the initial book that, you know, she raised hippogriffs. I'm really curious about his dad. Like, was his dad not there? Was his dad, like, a, you know, also a hippogriff raiser? You know, because it doesn't mention in that, like, that that's who it is. So I'd really love to see his dad at some point, or just, like, find out, like, what his family history is. I think it's going to be really interesting to explore that, because right now we kind of just see him off on his own. Doing his own thing, so I'm really curious about that.
I'd like to see his brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we know we're definitely going to see Theseus.
We're going to get Theseus a bit in there.
I want a flashback to whatever he had going on with the Lestrange woman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alita.
That's a whole other panel.
Yeah. But, no, I think it'd be nice to get a family thing, like just a family, even if it's like a little family reunion type thing where it is just his brother and his mother. Just to see how they actually, like, all interact with each other and to see if that does have any effect on, like, Newt's, like... Because we know he's really shy and really awkward and doesn't really look at anything, so I would like to see if that, his family dynamic has any play on that as well, if it's not just if he does have autism. If it's, like, he feels like he needs to be in that corner. If he feels like he needs to just, like, look down and not make eye contact. I want to see if his family plays any part in that as well. So I think that'd be really cool to figure out.
Yeah, I'd be really into like a small little flashback of a tiny little Newt growing up on a hippogriff farm, playing with a little baby hippogriff. Like, I'm into it. I'd be okay with that. They could do that. That would be fun. WB, here you go. Some plot points.
I like to see Theseus, though, with a whole family, a wife and kids, in a very contrast
Uncle
to
Newt.
Newt being alone, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's precious.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I accept it. It's my canon.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because it would just show, because Newt's kind of this traveler wanderer by himself. He's kind of like, he doesn't like people. You can see it would be a contrast that his brother is like, oh, Newt, why haven't you, this is the 20s too, settle down with a family, you know? What's wrong with you? Okay, so if you want, we can move to our next question that we got. It's from Holly Vanell. That's her username. She asked, in present times, is there cooperation between Lakuza and the U.S. government, or do you think that the statute of secrecy law is still rigidly in place?
I like this question because... Sorry, I'm a little under the weather. But I like it because I want to say yes to both, where the statute of secrecy law is still in place because it sort of has to be to an extent in order to keep them a secret. But I feel like they do have to commingle
to make sure everything's flowing smoothly and to make sure both sides know what's going on in the world. So I feel like yes to both. Which is a strange thing.
A conversation we were having last night was, right out of my head. The conversation was primarily about... Nope. Do you remember the conversation?
Yeah, sort of.
Great.
Well, no, I mean, because we talked about, kind of going away from Fantastic Beasts and towards Harry Potter. Oh, do you want to take it? Take it away?
No. You finish.
But going towards Harry Potter, like the chapter The Other Minister, we were kind of just talking about, like, wouldn't that be interesting to, like, you know, see something along those lines of, like, you know, whoever the current day, you know, president of MACUSA having a meeting in the White House. Like, that would just be really fun.
President Trump.
Yeah. Our consensus was that President Obama definitely knew what was going on. But
definitely knew there were wizards.
They kind of made a decision the last year, maybe we just shouldn't tell him. Like, he doesn't need to know.
Keep this on the field, guys.
And then her hand was up first.
Yeah.
I was about to say that the thing about the statute of secrecy and the strength of that is based on hostility and suspicion from both sides. Mm-hmm. So that the only reason to make it less tough than it is now would be some kind of increasing acceptance of something like magic or difference and things, and you know, a lot of us are not good at that. You know, there's real. I think that the risk that they face in America when you start seeing what the Shaws want to do and the fear of the police, that it's really that part of it. It really is to a certain extent. It's twisted, but it's for their benefit. Right, so I think that it's probably, hopefully they lifted it in terms of
relationships
and
marriage.
No matches getting married.
Right.
But other than that, you know, I kind of...
Yeah. Hopefully Queenie and Jacob break the barrier.
That's so cute.
Yeah. They'll be the pioneers.
Yeah, that'd be really cool to see.
Their version of Loving versus Virginia.
Oh,
feels. Elena.
I have a lot of feelings.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, I think that's a really cool theory.
Yeah. So you think the consensus is probably, it's still pretty strict. Because it's like we see in Harry Potter that the Muggles don't know that there's wizards and witches. It's still pretty strict. I mean, it's definitely a little more lax than it was in 1920s America, but I think it'd probably be on the same playing field as they have in England, if maybe a little stricter just because of the historical element of it, but I'd say.
Yeah, I think like we, you know, there's a lot of things in Harry Potter, like we don't know what the wizarding world in England was like in the 20s. I mean, we know, according to Newt, they had backward laws about marriage, but maybe they were more progressive in other areas. So it's kind of like, I think that the wizarding world seems to generally keep up with like the times in terms of acceptance, but I don't know. I think that, yeah, it'd be probably pretty similar.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say keep up with the times. I'm like,
no,
they have brick.
Not like,
they use owls for...
obviously, like, Harry needs a pen, but, like, you know, he knows how to treat people. Like,
yes, definitely.
In terms of personal interactions, yeah. I think they're on the same.
I agree. Okay, so our next question comes from Clockwork Boy 1, and he asks, would you like to see other countries and how different magic is around the world? There's tons of mythology that can fit into the wizarding world from different cultures. Like, what cultures do you want to see be implemented in the next 4 movies?
All of them? All of them? Is that an appropriate answer?
Yes!
The whole world.
The whole world. No, just because I've always loved mythology and I've always loved just learning what other people see and what other people believe in, even if it's different than my own. I always thought it was super interesting. So if we can tie in, like, the wizarding world that we know and love to all of these other different belief systems and different ways magic is performed, like, it would be absolutely amazing. Like, how does the South African school get their dreams out, or like, or get their message out, or like, how do they actually, like, do they use wands? Does everyone use a wand? Like, I would love to see someone like use something other than a wand. Mm-hmm. Like, that'd be really cool.
So before I say something else, what would you like to see them use besides a wand?
I didn't think that far ahead. I think that would be pretty cool. But no. What?
An umbrella?
An umbrella? Okay. But just like, even if like, because in the British wizarding system, it's so advanced, if you can do wandless magic, I think it'd be really cool to see some of these like other countries think using a wand is weird, and everyone can do wandless magic.
Fair like, point. Yeah. In general, I support anything, so I'm down to see any and everything as long as it's appropriate to the plot and that it doesn't feel forced. Like, I just don't want something to be thrown in just for the sake of throwing it in there, which I don't think Rowling will do. But like, I don't want Newt to pop into South Africa for a day just to like pet like, I don't know, a cheetah or something. I'm horrible with geography and placement of animals, so please disregard it. That's horribly, horribly inaccurate. But
you're not a biologist.
I am no magic zoologist.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked some of this on the show, and we've talked about, like, you know, Newt's possible adventures, like, in France and in Germany. We talked about Germany on a most recent episode. But yeah, I'd really love to see, like, not just, like, going to other places, but going to these other wizarding schools. Yes. I mean, what was the point of telling us about Castelabruxu if they're not going to go there? Like, I want them to go to Brazil. I want them to go to these other countries. So I think that, you know, with, you know, if she really wants to make Pottermore her thing, like, if we're never going to get our encyclopedia and this is what we're going to get, then, like, I want to see it used to its full potential. Like, don't give us all this info that's just never going to be useful. So I really think it'd be cool. But like Lizzie was saying, too, I don't want it to be like, okay, let's just go here because it'll be fancier looking sets that'll make the trailer cool and then the plot will have no substance. Although, you know, I remember before the movie came out, like, you know, we kind of had that same feeling. We're like, is this just going to be all show and, like, we're not going to get, like, a real story? And, I mean, I think anybody here that likes Fantastic Beasts can attest. We definitely got story. We definitely all cried at the Warner Brothers logo and then everything else after. So, you know, I think it'd be really cool to explore the world when you have a character like this who that's their thing. Like, and Newt even mentions, like, in the first one, he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I was in Sudan and there was this girl. So I'm like, you clearly have been everywhere, bro.
Yeah.
So I want to see more of those adventures.
Seen some stuff.
And like that, going sort of off that, him having already been in other countries, what if he's already like, if the other schools do have like a Care of Magical Creatures type class, and he's already like befriended those professors, so he already has like relationships with them, so it doesn't feel super forced if he's like on the search for this one thing that could fix whatever's gonna happen, and he has to go and talk to all of these like old connections that he has to see if they can help him track down whatever he's
That's fine.
Yeah, like go someone at the Japanese wizarding school is a complete expert in the one thing that he needs. And so go there.
That'd be nifty.
And it's really cheesy.
Brazil does specialize in that. That's where, I mean, it says specifically that the Brazil school is good at magizoology and
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, yeah, and if you guys have tuned in before, like, our editor, Igor, but our editor, Igor, he's actually from Brazil, and so he was on a most recent episode and talked about how, like, you know, Brazil is rich with creatures that are there to protect the forest because so much of Brazil is you know, jungle. So, it'd be really cool if we got to go to that school and see it, like, because it's probably somewhere in the mountains where they're just completely surrounded by wildlife. Mm-hmm. So that would be amazing.
All I wanted to say was imagine a Hogwarts study abroad program. Where Newt study abroad in like the Brazilian school.
Yeah, that is true. Like she's the pen pal, he wanted him to come visit him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to go to Casa I can never pronounce it.
Castelabruxu?
Yep, that's it. Yep, that's what it was. He had a pen pal from Brazil, and he wanted him to come visit, but the Weasleys are poor, sadly. And then they sent him a hat that shriveled his ears up because he thought that he was ignoring him, which is sad. But
aww.
I know, I definitely think I love the theory of, like, going to all the different schools because I feel like we're almost kind of on that path now. We started at America. We didn't get to see Ilvermorny, But now we're going to Paris, which has Louboutin, which kind of can go with all the different schools around the world.
And we're going back to Hogwarts.
I'm so excited! Yeah, hopefully we're going to see Hogwarts next movie. I want it back. Okay, so the next question that we have here is from Ross J. Nicholson, and he asks, what does Grindelwald need an Excurial for? Like, what's the reason? Like, what is he planning on using them for?
The greater good.
And that's it. We're done.
And panel. No, I think it's more of a power thing because we see how powerful Credence is with that Obscurus attached to him and with it in him. And I feel like he's looking to try and harness that power and try and figure out a way to use it for himself, whether it be, like, if it's something, like, new removed it from the girl, but if he can, like, reattach it to himself and make himself more powerful, because I view it as, like, that parasite where it does need something else to survive. So, like, if he could, like, reattach it to himself to, like, harness that power or think he can harness that power but not actually harness the power, because who can harness that?
Say harness one more time.
Harness it. And then in the back.
Yeah. I feel like he wants to use it to kill a bunch of muggles. Because that's his whole thing, right? He doesn't want the wizards to have to live in secrets anymore. He wants wizard supremacy. So I think he just wants to go lay waste to a bunch of muggle towns. And that would be a very effective.
Pull a Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah.
Pull a Peter Pettigrew. Blow stuff up. On a massive scale. I see another hand.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think he wants to start a world war between muggles and wizards because he feels wizards are a superior race, and they'll win, and then they'll be running the everything. Kind of like some other little...
Yeah, definitely.
Could it be that he wants, like, redemption? Because something must have already happened in order to, like, make the wizards decide that they need to, like, go away and hide.
Or he'd just be an evil dude.
So, well, I mean, or he could be an evil dude, but, like, if he feels, like, improperly, like, I don't know, banished or whatever.
I saw your hand, and then I saw you as well, so. Yeah.
I think that he's particularly interested in not only for its power, but the fact that it's a symbol of the suppression of the magic and the wizardry.
Oh,
and
really
he sees
point.
It particularly as this is a symbol of why we have to let our magic out and be who we are, because this is a symbol of what happens when it is suppressed.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Sorry. I'm sorry. I feel like he would have wanted to keep the Obscurus in Credence then and just use Credence as a symbol. That versus, like, trying to figure it out. Like, I don't know if he did, and that that's what he wanted, is to find it to, like, say, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. It kind of backfires. We never really get that far.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I like that versus, like, keeping them together and say,
symbolism behind the
Obscurus, like, this is what happens when you...
He would get, I mean, if he did have that, that would be his way to rally wizards behind him. I mean, you see already in Fantastic Beasts, he's like, I'm not one of Grindelwald's, like, followers. I'm not
fanatics.
One of fanatics.
Fanatics.
Yeah, so it's like he's...
He'll not be a fanatic. He is him.
He clearly has people on his side already, and maybe this is the message that he's been pushing at them, like, our children are going to no longer be magical if we don't fight back. So I think that's a really good idea that it could be a symbol.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was another question.
There's a woman here.
Yes.
Yeah. One clue we have from Deathly Hallows is that what he wanted the Resurrection Stone for was to create an army of Inveri.
Right.
Creepy.
Because, when we look at Fantastic Beasts, it makes us look differently at the story we got in Deathly Hallows. Mm-hmm. So, and the thing about how he treats Credence is very emphatically he doesn't care about Credence. He's just trying to use the ops. And is this why he never contacted Dumbledore again? Not because he felt guilty, but because if the Obscurus is dead, then he doesn't need Elvis anymore. Mm-hmm. Is he trying to just get military power? Is it getting an Obscurus to control? Is it like getting a nuclear weapon?
Yeah. I was just going to say, actually, that's a really, really solid point. Is like, you know, Jo is a person who, like, she clearly has an understanding of history. And she takes that and she weaves it into all the stories that she tells. And I mean, there's no coincidence that, you know, Grindelwald was defeated the same year that World War II ends. Yeah. So I think that, like, through this real thing, like you said, it's like a nuclear, God, I hate this word. Nuclear weapon. You know, where it's like he sees Credence as like, you know, his Manhattan Project. Like he can take this kid and any other kids like them and use that power. What was that?
Manhattan Project.
Where
New York.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I say it wrong?
It does parallel the search for the atomic bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does, and I think that's like, you know, it's like Joe, your nerd is showing, you know, and that's she does her best work when she does that, but yeah, just kind of like I totally agree with what everybody's saying. Like I think that Grindelwald, he's not necessarily like just like I'm gonna twirl my mustache villain. He's kind of very much like a Magneto villain, where like there is a part of his argument that is a good point. Like you should be able to be yourself, you should be able to use your magic, but not at the expense of hurting others. And that's kind of where like he crosses the line in the same way that Magneto does in X-Men. Magneto just wants the X-Men to be able to use their abilities and be out in the open, but he also shouldn't be killing, you know, human beings to do
like
that.
Here.
So
I get like parts of it. Like,
yeah.
You went X-Men and I went whoop.
No.
It's a very good comparison. He's very much like Magneto.
Yes, it's literally it's the same thing. X-Men is just like, you know, they're you know, heightened, they are humans with heightened abilities. And, you know, society, like, there's this one conversation that they have with a character named Bobby where he tells his parents, he's like, you know, Mom, Dad, I'm a mutant. And they go, have you ever tried not being a mutant? It's like, it's literally a gay kid's life. Like, you know, if you tried not being gay, like, you know, it's that exact parallel. Then, you know, Magneto comes along in the same way that, you know, well, Graveswald does to Credence, and is just like, you know, oh, I promise that, you know, I will give you great things if you just do this thing for me and, you know, join my army. So, yeah.
Which is also just really sad because it shows how easily children can be manipulated, I guess, to perform, like, all you have to... Like, it's just really sad that children can get put in that position where they don't... It's not like they don't know any better. And you are right in the back. It isn't just children.
Yeah.
That is also a very good point. But just how people in general can be manipulated, just... It's sad.
Yeah, and kind of on that point, tying back to the World War II, I think it's a nice parallel just to show, like, the children in Germany and like kind of the schools that they had, just like telling them this is the right thing to do, this is all okay, and they're like, oh, okay. And also adults do, were brainwashed the same way, because obviously Grindelwald is a big Hitler like metaphor in the world, so it's like it shows how he's just such a sweet, you see when he's with Grindelwald, he's such a sweet talker, and they're like, oh, okay, everything's gonna be fine if I listen to you. It's just, it shows how easy it is to be manipulated by those kind of people.
Well, also by
fear, yes,
yeah.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the manipulation of Credence, I think, is one of the saddest parts about the whole film. Because you totally see that, like, you know, Graves is kind of like, he's doing all of these comforting things that you would do to someone you care about, and it's like a textbook example in an abusive relationship. Like, I'm going to hug you, I'm going to hold you close, I'm going to tell you that you're special, but the second I don't need you, like, you're not even magical at all. I don't even like you anymore. And then, you know, the minute you find out that he's this power that you wanted, that's when you go on your whole rampage through New York. Oh, think of all the power you have. You know, it's like Graves.
Like Graves.
Just that, okay, honey? Or Grindelwald, whatever the heck he is. Who
is that guy? It's kind of like when I saw that personally, I'm like, oh, so this is what he did to Dumbledore as a child. Like, this is probably same way he fell for him, and he was just like, oh, he just charmed him. This is the greater good. It's all going to be okay. And then when you're saying before, when Ariana died, he's like, okay, I don't need you anymore. Bye. And Dumbledore's left like, wait, I thought you loved me. I thought we had something here. What happened? It's hopefully we get our flashback to that scene in the next few movies.
To add in, like, if you're going to talk about, like, sympathy for Dumbledore, the fact that he's grieving that he lost his mom and then his younger sister in less than a year.
Oh, yeah. Dumbledore goes through some stuff.
So,
we know we're going to see Credence again in movie 2 in some way. So, nobody knew that.
Spoiler.
He can't possibly still be on Grave/Grindelwald's side.
I think, I have a theory though. I think that we I don't want this, but I theorize. I think Credence might, I think he's going to go back to Grindelwald at some point in the series. I think he's going to end up relapsing and even possibly helping him and using his power to help him in maybe the final battle or something.
Yeah, symbolizing, once again, the abusive relationships and how hard it is for those that are abused to leave and actually, like, get out of that relationship. Mm-hmm. It's just another way of showing that, like, how trapped sometimes you can be by this sweet talker and, oh, no, they really do love me. It's they didn't mean it. They really do love me.
So not to go on to, like, a brand new topic or anything.
Do it.
But I just had a random thought. Which do you think is more valued? Horcruxes or Obscurials?
Ooh.
Because we don't really know any information on, like, the process of detaching or attaching an Obscurial to a person. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, like, what that process would look like if creating a Horcrux is murder, which is considered, like, one of the most evil of acts, but the process of attaching, essentially, a live parasite to a physical being, what kind of process would that be?
Painful?
Yeah. It's definitely in the restricted section, I can tell you that. Yeah, another question.
And that's Graves's, that's the flaw in his plan, is he can't control these humans, they keep dying. We know that Voldemort was, Dumbledore thinks he was the first person to make more than one Horcrux.
Mm-hmm.
Voldemort was this cutting edge scientist. Like, you know, in his mind, he was taking an advance from Graves's quest to find an Obscurial and somehow establish faulty control over this person. You know how Voldemort he's like, I'll do everything myself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll just make my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, I don't know what Will We Die a Little means.
Does anybody really?
Yeah.
So are they related? Is Voldemort refining what Graves failed, or Grindelwald failed to do? But it's definitely much easier to control a Horcrux than a human being with an Obscurus.
So then do you think you can raise an Obscurial? Like, if you find, like, let's say the young girl in Sudan, like, if you were to find her earlier on, take her in, do you think, and you could acknowledge and figure out exactly what this is, do you think you could hone it and teach the child to, like, keep in control, or you can, like, you know, until, like, the right moment?
I think human beings are trying to do that all the time.
I really saw the obscures, whatever they are. Saw it as you have this magical power in you, and if you don't use it and train it and learn to use it, it festers and it's like becomes cancer. Like whatever cells of your magic are in you, if they're not properly trained, go rancid on you. And I don't think you can. You know, I don't know how you would.
Right.
I think it's something that's attached to that person.
You raise a good point.
You have to get them, so you have to be like making a child army, so to speak. They aren't going to last forever.
Yeah, we'll come to you one second, just because I wanted to respond to that, because I think that, like, you know, we're always talking about how much we love Joe, but I think one other thing that she's shown that's a strength of hers is, like, psychological metaphors. Like, you know, the Dementors were just a literal manifestation of the depression she went through, and I think that, you know, her kind of new message and focus in this is kind of just, like, you know, this is what happens if you don't be who you are, like, if you don't let out your magic, if you don't learn to, like, it's even better, a stronger metaphor, like you said, if you don't learn to use this. Because we all have skills, we all have, like, inherent things that are part of us, and if we don't learn to utilize those parts of ourselves, we get stuck. And that's what people who end up at dead-end jobs when they're in their, you know, their 60s are like, oh man, I wish I had done this. It's because you never, like, let that part of yourself grow. So I think that's kind of like what Joe's sort of getting at. So that was a really good point.
Yeah.
And you had a question.
I see the Obscurials as a kind of a displaced rage and anger at and disappointment at the suppression, at the frustration. And almost like what happens if somebody has a multiple personality and something is split off, you know, like a part of yourself you can't own. So that's how I see those.
Yeah, it's really cool.
A woman.
Yeah, you had a hand up back there.
Well, and it's also, it has to be very much rooted in shame, because that's kind of how I think it's like this self, this personified shame, because it's not muggle-borns that become obscure. So it's not just that, like, they have this magic that they're repressing or that they don't, or even Harry.
You have to know it's the magic.
Abused, there's a very, it's very important. They have to know about the magic, and that has to be the source of all of this self-hatred that eats away at them. It's their magic that's seen as evil, and their magic that's bad, and that's what they hate about themselves. So if they don't know, if they're just trying to repress this weird thing that keeps happening, because I feel like that would happen with muggle-borns all the time. They have these bursts of magic coming out. They're trying to keep control of it. But they don't know it's magic. They don't hate it, and so they're safe.
That's the word I was just about to use: is self-hatred.
Yeah.
That you took the words right out of my mouth, because you have to make a valid point. Muggleborns don't just suppress and like blow everything up.
Yeah.
So.
Any other question?
Muggleborns, even if they don't know what they're doing, it might still upset them.
Yeah,
sure.
That is true.
Yeah, it's kind of like how you know that there's something special about you, but you can't, like a funny parallel, but it makes sense, like Moana. Like, she knows that she belongs on that ocean. Like, there's nothing like that, you know, she just knows it in
we
her
We are not
soul.
A Moana podcast.
Yes, we are. We shifted from Hamilton to Moana. We're all the things. But yeah, like Moana knows, like there's something deep inside her that tells her this. So that's a really good point. That, you know, Muggleborns, you know, like I'm sure that Hermione had some sense of like specialness growing up. She knew, I got something inside of me. I don't know what it is, but it's there. And then she finds out she's a witch, and oh my gosh, this is it. I'm going to read all the books. Like, you know? And I think that's a really cool, it's a really cool point that Muggleborns could become Obscurials too.
I wonder if Harry did have slightly Obscurial tendencies.
Oh, we've covered this.
Is it the thing you covered?
I think so.
I didn't think about that until now, because it was that a little bit of that self-hatred and that suppression, and then he wasn't allowed to know what was going on. Like,
well, primarily the conversation that I think we've covered on like an episode or two is like, could Harry have developed into an Obscurial?
Yeah, we talked about that right after the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, wait a minute, how is Harry not one?
Yeah.
And
then Joe immediately, because right after Fantastic Beasts on her website, she put up like 10 questions being like, this is why everything in Fantastic Beasts happened. And one of her things of Harry was, Harry did not know he was magical, and therefore that was her reasoning behind it. But one more question, yeah.
Well, on comment on that, we know that Harry ended up on the roof.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which seems like actually a very Obscurial lash out of the house.
Yeah, it does.
That's a very good example that, I mean, but it didn't turn into that, you know, I like the concept of the cancer, that it turns sort of that blackness.
Yeah.
But it lashes out regardless. Yeah.
Oh, there's a hand in the corner.
Also, blowing up his eyes.
Yeah.
He was not facing her. She was behind him.
Yeah.
And it just happened.
Yeah. So this has been a really great discussion, but we only have about
a few minutes left,
and we want to give away our prizes for our scavenger hunt.
So did you guys have fun, scavenger hunt?
Yes.
So if you have your sheets, bring them.
Amy,
Amy has the.
Has everybody turned in their sheet? Have all been checked yet? All right,
okay,
if they haven't been checked, we can do that now.
So while we check those, we just want to say thank you for coming to our live episode. Obviously, a much shorter episode than usual. If you have not listened to us before, you can find us on our website, speakbc.com. We are also hosted on MuggleNet, obviously, and I'm going to give it back to my producer because she has to do her thing.
Well, no, because we do have an episode coming out today, so you guys can check for that later today. And then after that episode, we're going to release the audio from this live episode probably sometime next week, so you can keep an eye out on speakbc.com for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Does any, while we're tallying up, does anyone have any last minute questions, last minute thoughts?
Thoughts about
anything?
Thank you to people watching online.
Have you talked about Grey's Anatomy?
It's not.
Okay. I look
goodbye.
Silly.
Hold on.
Do you think in the movies they're
going
to talk about, like, because obviously if Fantastic Beasts and Tax came out after, you traveled everywhere.
Yeah.
But they didn't include the North American stuff, so it feels like a left behind.
Well, because Sophie and Pickery told him that he couldn't talk about them.
If you get the new little Fantastic Beasts book, you said, "Oh, I didn't mention this because I was told I couldn't." I'm like, "Okay, Joe.
Yeah,
okay."
I feel like with each movie, we can expect a newly released retconned. get all 8 editions of Fantastic Beasts with entirely new introductions.
Right.
I do.
And the Billy Wig is still out there. Just saying.
Yeah, there is a deleted scene.
But it's still out there somewhere.
But is it
in the case? It follows Newt, but does that mean it got back in the case? Could it still be?
That'd be cute if, like, the next movie you just see him, like, following Newt around still. And it's like by the end of the last movie, like, they have, like, a battle, and they're like, oh, okay, there it is, and they just put it in the case at the end. That'd be cute.
That'd be cute.
A little, like,
I want my own caps.
So we're going to talk about the prizes. So the way that we're going to do this, for anybody that did the scavenger hunt, the way it worked is you had a list of 30 items, and if you did 10 of them, you get 1 entry. If you did 20, you get 2 entries. If you did the whole list, you get high fives and, you know, 30.
Hey,
so
let me stop recording.
Yeah, you can stop recording. So what we're going to do is, I think, once Amy is done tallying,